Hey there, welcome back to That Much Further West podcast. It's your favorite host, Philly, and I'm up in the green room at Mississippi Studios with our friend Aaron Lee Tasjan. What a thrill. We just saw him open for a great act, of Mastersons, tonight, and we really appreciate you stopping by and giving us a little bit of your time. Aaron, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, Phil. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Right on. You've been out on the road quite a bit in 2015. Tell us how it's treating you.
It's treating me really well, man. I've been very fortunate to be out on the road with some very talented folks, like Caleb Cottle and John Moreland and the Mastersons, and I've got some dates coming up with Chuck Mead from BR549 that I'm really excited about, and a tour a little bit later on, like late spring, early summer, with Lily Hyatt, who's got a really great new record coming out that I've heard some of that sounds fantastic. So yeah, the road's been very kind to me.
Well, you look none the worse for wear, so that's good. I'm just wondering what now that you've been out quite a bit in the early part of the year, I'm wondering how you're feeling. You're seeing the whole country right now. What are you taking away from that time on the road right now?
It's a really interesting time in this country right now. I think there's a lot of very deep-seated issues of social class and race and things like that that we're still trying to navigate. I played in Missouri right 2 days before they announced the Ferguson County decision, and it was tense, and you could feel that it was tense when I was there. But I feel hopeful, and I think there's a lot of people out there that feel hopeful, and at the very least, we're all coming together and singing folk songs every night. So
does it feel good to just be out there and kind of getting a little bit of that back and forth with the American public and getting in touch with what's going on out there?
Yeah, absolutely. It feels great, and people are I think one thing that is good about it is that people are really willing to talk about it, which has maybe not always been the case in this country. I think in our past there's been subjects that might have been considered taboo, that were prevalent and relevant, but that people may have kind of chosen to maybe sweep under the rug a little bit. Whereas now, I think there's an important story that needs to be told here, and people are kind of latching onto that, and they're willing to be very forthcoming with their experiences, which is great, because it helps to, keep things open and keep us talking to each other and keep us communicating, and hopefully, we can figure out how to make it better.
Well, you're a guy who's like one voice out there and embracing that responsibility. We see that in your songwriting now, in your performance. It's just one guy, guitar, and engaging an audience. Do you feel kind of like empowered to go ahead and put stuff out there and kind of get a little back and forth with folks?
Well, I mean, I feel probably a lot of the time I feel as misguided as anybody else does, and if anything, I think that's kind of what I'm trying to say at the end of the day, is that, it's okay, I think, to feel like you don't know what to do or what the next step should be. But it's great that we're in a time where we realize that, that we can take it into our own hands and that we can do something about it. I guess I'm just trying to open up the floodgates for, you know, for more discussions and things like that to happen. I mean, I wanna, you know, I wanna aspire to intelligence and all those kind of things, and I don't wanna. I think we have a strange way sometimes of like connecting intelligence with elitism in this country, and I don't necessarily think that that's the case. I think there are totally brilliant people, you know, who are blue collar or who are, you know, who do come from a less substantial socioeconomic background or whatever. Those are the people that I want to hear from, because I think they've lived a walk of life and experienced things that maybe not other people that are on a similar level of intelligence necessarily have, and so they can bring something to the table that's a unique experience and a different experience. And as long as we keep all that open and that exchange flowing between both sides, you know, I think America will be okay. We just gotta keep it happening.
You know, you have been surrounded with a lot of great songwriters in your life, a lot of great players. The recent songwriters you're with, everybody kind of going out there doing, you're kind of in a troubadour vein right now.
Yeah.
I was curious if these guys are rubbing off on you in any way. You know, I mentioned this to Will Johnson one time. He'd played and done a record with Melina.
Sure.
And I remember seeing a house show with Will, and he did a song, and it was very Melina. And I said, was Melina rubbing off on you? You know, maybe you tell me. He said,
yeah.
Right, you
know? I think that's probably a good way of putting it. I mean, Will is a very articulate gentleman. but I, you know, yeah, I would say you're not always conscious of that stuff. But, I mean, there's no way that you can't. You know, I mean, when you're lucky enough to be in the, you know, the musical world that we're all kind of in at the moment, I just feel like, man, there's so many great writers out there, you know, that are really doing amazing stuff. And I think we're all, you know, I mean, I at least know from my approach, and it's nothing malicious or anything like that, but it's like, I want to, you know, because of that, I want to do the best songs that I possibly can, you know, and I want to try to get up there and play something that's going to knock, you know, people out. And it's so cool that there's just a lot of people at this moment who have, I think, a similar level of you know, enthusiasm for what they're doing, and they are out there doing it, and it's really, I find it to be, I could see maybe where somebody might think it's intimidating. I find it personally to be inspiring, and you know, I'm sure it's, you know, I mean, I've gotten to hang around with people like Elizabeth Cook and Todd Snyder and, you know, Kevin Kinney and just tons and tons of great songwriters. I mean, I can't wait to hear Chuck Mead play every night. You know, I mean, I've been such a fan of his and BR549 for a long time. Like, you know, just the idea that I'm going to get to watch that dude play a set every night is worth doing that tour enough for me, you know? So, I would hope as I am, you know, in many ways, a student of the stuff that I'm doing, musically, I would hope that it would come out in only a positive way, and only as something that anyone that would hear it would consider to be like, you know, a tribute, because I am at the end of the day, more than anything, just a huge fan of music.
Right on, brother. Give us an update on the record. Was this a crowdfunded record?
It was, yeah. We
it is.
It is. It is. Yeah, it was. And it is. Yeah, as a matter of fact.
That's, well, where's it stand?
We are one song away from being mixed, and then we'll get everything mastered, and we'll be having it in everybody's hands in short order thereafter. We've got all the artwork done and all that kind of stuff, which is great. But yeah, I would say we'll probably be done with it sometime around the middle of March.
And tell us a little bit about the sound, because I'm curious. You're out troubadouring.
Yeah.
But we've heard you with more of a full band mix on the EP.
Sure.
Where'd you record, with whom, and tell us a little bit about it.
We did it at New Monkey Studios in Los Angeles, California, and the producer was this guy, Eli Thompson, who produced the first two Delta Spirit records and is the current bass player in Josh Tillman's The Father John Misty Band.
10-4.
And we had David Vanderveld there, who was amazing and totally killed it. And we had Dan Bailey on drums, who I played with in Everest.
Okay.
And then we had our friend Joel Graves, who I also played with in Everest and also happens to own New Monkey Studios. He was there. He played some guitar with us. He did some percussion stuff. And then we had two lovely young ladies come in and sing some wonderful gospel influenced. We were trying really hard to sound like Exile on Main Street.
Okay.
On a couple of jams. So we had some of that.
Nick
and
took those things to
Man, it's not, you know, we made it in California. It's not like a California record per se. It's just a very honest representation of how we were inspired to play those songs. And, you know, I would come into the control room with the song, play it down for everybody, and they would just do, you know, there was no, you know, frame of reference other than I think I told Eli that I'd really like to make an album like Common Sense by John Prine.
Okay.
And so it's a, you know, it's folk rock music, but it's a little funky and it's a little, you know, we tried as hard as we possibly could to be soulful, and but it's a very musical album, and I'm really proud of it, and I think people are really gonna enjoy it when they hear it.
Right on. Well, you posted something recently, a video of you at Electric Lady. Give us a little background on that, because that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well,
how did you get involved with that? That's in New York City.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was these guys have this production company in New York called Lamkini, Lamkini, and they're just really good, great people, and they came up with this concept for a web series called Behind the Glass, and what they do is they take bands and film them performing in sort of classic recording studios in New York, of which there are some really great ones.
That sounds fun.
And yeah, and they do a little interview with the band, and they do a little interview with the engineer from the studio they try to use the guy that works at the studio. That's this house engineer. And so for us, we had John Horn, who's a great engineer over at Electric Lady. And I had known the Electric Lady guys for a while when I was in my first band. We mixed a couple songs there, and that was back when they still had the white piano there that David Bowie and John Lennon wrote Fame on.
Oh, God.
So I couldn't help myself. I had to play on that for a minute or two. But yeah, they, you know, when Mark from Lamkini called me up and said, hey, you know, we'd love to do a Behind the Glass thing with you. You know, where would you like to do it? You know, I just said, man, if we could get Electric Lady, that would be a home run for me. Cause that, I mean, you know, of all, I think really of all the studios in New York, that one just really has a lot of special magic to it. Not only because, you know, it's such a great classic studio where obviously amazing records were made back in the day, but it continues to be that. And, you know, Green Day's done great stuff there, and Ryan Adams has done great stuff there, and, you know, recently. And I just love the spirit of the place. And John Horn, too, is a special dude, I think, and a great engineer, and I think he's just going to go on to do amazing stuff. So it was a pleasure to work with those guys on that.
Let me put you on the spot real quick and ask you about some of the better records of 2014 or what you were listening to early, right now.
Sure.
You know, what's buzzing in the Tazgen road mix?
Man, there was a couple that came out this year that I really enjoyed. Nikki Lane's record I loved. I thought it was a beautiful, beautiful album. You know, In the Throes by John Moreland is one. I know, like, that came out 2 years ago, but it's right. One that a lot of people have kind of been catching on to this last year, and it's one that hasn't left my record player for a while. But the War on Drugs record I really liked a lot. I love what those guys are doing, and I'm a big Kurt Vile fan as well, but I love that those guys have kind of kept their own identity and sure. really, you know, risen into a beautiful and unique thing musically.
I saw you post about the M. Lockwood Porter record one day, and that's one that was we've been playing on the podcast. I'm really stoked about.
Oh, me too, man. That 27 is the name of the album, and I mean, yeah, just the. The genius awareness of the idea to write a song about Chris Bell totally knocks me out, man. I mean, you know, that kid should get some sort of trophy just for that. But there's tons of great songs on there, and that the opening line, you know, "Ain't it hard when the price differs from the cost?" Like, that's a line that really knocked me out as right away when I heard it, and I've enjoyed listening to that album a ton. That's another one, like John's, that really hasn't left my record player since I got it.
Cool. So, 2015, long road ahead. What's the summer holding for you? What are the plans?
Summer's looking pretty cool, man. I think I'm going to be playing some music at the Newport Folk Festival this year, which I'm really excited about. And I'm going to be, you know, this record will become, In the Blazes will be coming out most likely at the end of the summer for people who have not pre-ordered. That'll be the official release date. We're looking late August, early September.
Will you take a band out?
I will for some of the dates. Yeah, I'm gonna try to do as many major cities as I can with a band, as it is a band record, and I want to represent that in some way. I don't know how much of the touring will be that way. But there definitely will be some full band shows coming down the pike, which I'm excited about, and I just hope that the dudes that I want to play with are available at the time. It's like, it's so cool because all my friends are, you know, in, you know, bands with Jason Isbell and you know, Hardworking Americans and like all these awesome groups, you know, but it makes it slightly harder to schedule them on your own gigs, man, because they're doing, you know, amazing stuff as they should be. But there'll definitely be some full band dates in there for sure.
Well, we can only hope that you make it back this way. And great crossing paths. Thanks for taking a little time for our friends at That Much for the West podcast.
Hey, it was an absolute pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Aaron Lee Tazgen, thank you.
Thank you.